This is the Panthers Blitz Podcast with WRALSportsFan.com's John Stout. You'll hear the latest happenings with Carolina Panthers football, the previews, the game recaps, stats, stories, and special guests. Don't forget that you can listen or download this podcast at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes and Google Play stores. Now, here's the host of Panthers Blitz, John Stout.
With first place on the line in the NFC, the Carolina Panthers were unable to get it done on Thursday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles, falling to the now 5-1 NFC-leading Eagles 28-23 at Bank of America Stadium, moving the Panthers' all-time Thursday Night Football record to 2-5. You're listening to the Panthers Blitz Podcast. I'm John Stout. Brendan Whitted will join us, as always. Brendan is on his way down to Atlanta for his friend's bachelor party. I know a little bit about that. I had my bachelor party for my wedding that's going to be in December. That was last weekend. That was a, let's just call it an interesting time. I'm sure Brendan, who was in Savannah a few weekends ago, man, he has had a few fun couple of weeks. I wish I was in his shoes. But anyways, I know that Brendan watched last night's game closely, and he will have, I know, a lot of hot takes about the Panthers' loss. The Panthers had plenty of chances to get back into the game last night. They trailed by 12 points late, but did trim their deficit to 5 points after a Cam Newton to Christian McCaffrey touchdown from within the red zone. Carolina got one final stop on Philadelphia and took over with about 2 minutes to play. The Panthers got into Eagles territory, I believe around the 48-yard line, but turned the ball back over to Philly after failing to convert on third and fourth down with only 1 yard to gain.
Shepherd starts in motion, stops just short of the receiver closest to him. Over the middle, McCaffrey rolling grab, the 40. Did he catch it?
I have no idea.
No, he did not.
On the ground.
The Eagles are going to win the game. McCaffrey on the pass from Newton, which was low. McCaffrey tried to roll, catch it, and the officials say it hit the ground.
That's Mick Mixon and Eugene Robinson, as always, on the call for the Carolina Panthers radio network, which you can find on 99.9 The Fan every week here in Raleigh. It did look like at first that McCaffrey came up with that catch. He had a very nice night last night, led the team with 10 catches for 56 yards and that touchdown to get the Panthers within 5 points. Targeted a team high 14 times. Kelvin Benjamin did lead the team with 9 catches for 99 yards. Another big game for the big time 6'5" mammoth of a man receiver. McCaffrey continues to get more involved in the offense. Still no really consistent path running the ball, especially last night. The Panthers struggled mightily to get any type of rushing attack going. Cam Newton actually led the team with 11 carries for 71 yards. One touchdown, almost broke a rookie cornerback's ankle on the way into the end zone. Curtis Samuel and Christian McCaffrey both had 8 yards apiece. The two rookies combined for five carries for 16 yards. But Fozzie Whitaker and Jonathan Stewart had a lot of issues last night. Whitaker actually went out early. I think it was early in the game. It could have been second half, but he missed the rest of the game with, it looked like, a knee injury. Stewart, check out this line, 8 carries for -4 yards. You would look at that at first and say, oh yeah, that's not correct, but it was in fact correct. Philadelphia's defensive line is one of the best, and they abused the Carolina Panthers offense. It was not a pretty sight for a team that continues to look for its run game to get back on track and not have to rely on Cam Newton to do so. Well, I teased it earlier. Brendan Whitted, my partner in crime as always, is not next to me today, but he's with me in spirit and with me on the phone on his way down to Atlanta, like I said, for his boy's bachelor party. Brendan, I know you had a lot of fun in Savannah. Have more fun in Atlanta, but be safe, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I was hoping that I was going to be on my way with a little bit more pep in my step, but unfortunately, Panthers couldn't pull it out. That hurt a little bit. It did. I won't lie to you. That hurt a little bit.
They underwhelmed significantly compared to the last 2 weeks. Yeah. I know that you were very geeked up after the Panthers went on the road and beat the New England Patriots and the Detroit Lions, but failed to win on Thursday night in front of a jacked up crowd on Keep Pounding Night, which is huge for the franchise. It's the first Keep Pounding Night. Wore the Sam Mills number 51 decals on the back of the helmet. So I know that you wanted them to win and the Panthers fan as well, but for the organization, I'm sure they would have liked to win that as well for Sam Mills. Brendan, what do you take away from this game? The Panthers had a chance to win late. I have a lot of feelings on this, but I'm going to let you take it first.
Yeah, it just turnovers. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And this offense had been rolling. It had been looking good, but it wasn't going to be. It wasn't going to continue on the pace it had been, and it definitely regressed. But they're not good enough to win turning the ball over. That's not how this team is. That's not how this team is built. And so when they turn the ball over, they're going to lose. Very, very nervous, anxious about Luke Kuechly, just because he's, you know, this is another concussion. It's tough. Like that's the two best players on both sides of the ball had rough nights, and moving forward for Luke especially, That's a concern just for our defense's sake. But it's a Thursday night game. I try not to take too much from it just because that's a weird place. I don't think that they should be playing on Thursdays anyway. And they lost to a good team, so I'm really all right. It was disappointing, but it was okay.
Now Cam Newton, 28 of 52. That 52 stands out.
Yeah.
I think that's a career high. Especially for somebody coming off of off-season shoulder surgery, you would not think that he's going to throw it probably more than 40 times. But given the situation of last night's game, where the running game completely failed, besides Cam Newton, who did run it for 11 times for 71 yards, the rest of the receiving corps, running backs, I guess, decided to take the night off, but let's not blame it all on them. The offensive line was terrible. But 50-plus passes, your thoughts on that?
It's just too much. Like, some of this was just because, yes, they were trying to come back, they were down 28-16. They were down a couple possessions, so they had to kind of, you know, throw the ball and advance it. So some of it's that, but just generally speaking, I think there's just too much on Cam right now. Like, because you not on top of those pass attempts, you also have the 11 rushes, and it's all on him. You know what I mean? And that's too much, you know. And the 11 rushes is because that's kind of the only way that they're able to advance the ball while rushing. Like, this team has not been able to run the ball all year. And, you know, they are still very much, I think, missing their center. I know Tyler Larson has done a good job as a replacement, but I think continuity is important on an offensive line, and he's a all pro sort of center. So I think they do miss Khalil. I don't know what else it is. The offensive line generally has been good. They weren't particularly on Thursday night, but they've been good in pass protection, but rushing the ball, they can't seem to get off the ball like that. So I don't know. I don't know what they can do about that.
If you take away Cam's 71 yards rushing, the team as a whole rushed for 9 yards.
Yeah.
That's not going to get it done.
No.
Like you said, Tyler Larson is playing for the injured Ryan Khalil. Let's just call him the good Khalil, because the other one is not very good at football. I do have to say, he's been playing better. The first few weeks, he was atrocious. He has been playing better. Let's give him his props. But Tyler Larson was just getting abused by Fletcher Cox last night, who was questionable going into the game. He did play. He was just disruptive. That whole line was able to get back and disrupt Cam and just completely stop the running game. Like you said, the Panthers have not found any consistency, except for Cam running the ball the past few weeks, from Jonathan Stewart, Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey racked up all those yards at Stanford. He was able to run through the tackles, but he's not playing a Pac-12 defense anymore. This is the National Football League, and that's not going to work. You know, for me, if I'm a Panthers fan, I'd like to see McCaffrey kind of go east and west a little bit more, get on the outside, get one-on-one. Yeah. But, you know, you've seen those little You know, they'll bring him back. They'll bring him into the backfield and split him out wide. You saw it a few times, especially on that touchdown pass where they get him into single coverage, and that works to a certain degree. But still, the consistency, especially with McCaffrey, has really hindered the Panthers' success running the ball.
Yeah, I mean it's weird. I think he's going to be. Honestly, I think he's going to be more of a receiver. I think I've said this before. I think he's more of a receiving threat than he is a running threat. I think at this level, that's not necessarily where he'll be the best. I think he'll still, you know, grab some rushes from behind the line, like in a traditional running back role. But honestly, I think I look at him more and think of him as a receiving threat and less so as a runner. You know what I mean? I just don't think he's big enough to do a ton back there, especially with the way the Carolina's run game goes. They run out a lot of big sets and stuff like that. I don't know if that's necessarily him living his best life. I don't know if that's how we are going to get the best out of him. So I really don't think of him like that. Stewart's just, I mean, there's just nothing there. You know, like, it's not like I feel like a different running. I don't think it's the running back. I just feel like there's not a lot there. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see a lot of opportunity for the running back to do anything.
Yeah, I agree. I talked to a lot of people on Twitter. We're going to get into that later because I have a ton to say about the Twitter fans, Twitter Panthers fans. But, you know, you can't blame it all on Jonathan Stewart. It seemed like every time he had the ball, there were at least four or five defenders right there that had just blown by the Panthers' offensive line. So, you know, the tandem, we saw it the last 2 weeks. It looked like they had finally worked out the splits between McCaffrey and Stewart, but there was just really no chance for them to get going last night. This might have been Stewart's worst professional game. The 8 carries for -4 yards. If he keeps going, he might go backwards and not become remain the Panthers' all-time rusher. I was a little worried for him last night if that might happen to him. I'm not sure if that's happened to anybody in NFL history. Well, you're the record holder, but wait, this week you're not. You need to gain all of those yards back.
I would if I'm him and that happens, you got to stop the game again and give me my props once I do it again.
Like, just make another big deal. Send another Twitter like infographic out there.
Whole big deal. I want it all. Let's run that right back one more time.
Kind of a quiet night for Devin Funchess. He was coming off of 2 really nice games, 3 catches for 36 yards. He had that big 20-yard reception. I think it was the team's longest. Kelvin Benjamin, he did look good. 9 catches for 99 yards. A lot of questions going into the year, but Kelvin's had a pretty decent year.
He's been good, man. Like, he's been really good and a lot more consistent. He's giving you the consistency this year that he hadn't previously. He's always tempted with his size and his playmaking ability. He's kind of like tantalized fans with what could be if, you know, he was really just kind of more focused on a more regular basis. And he seems to be that this year. And he's been the number one receiver. And I've had no complaints about him. Sometimes I've bemoaned him not being as good as kind of feels like his talent would indicate that he should be, but he absolutely has been this year.
Now, looking at the Eagles receiving core, they got a few really nice receivers. Alshon Jeffrey, 4 catches, 71 yards. Nelson Aguilar, 4 catches, 55 yards in that one touchdown. You know, James Bradbury, I think, did a pretty nice job on Alshon Jeffrey. Maybe got away with a few DPIs. Yeah. Zach Ertz, that was my key going into this game. You got to stop him. Now, I will say he only had 2 catches, but the 2 catches were for touchdowns, and you know who was covering him.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a thing. Yeah. As soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah, he's going to have something to say about that.
You know that guy, Darrell Worley, who is also not very good at playing football? He was on him both times. Now, the first one, I will say, they did some nifty scheming on the offense, and he ended up one-on-one coverage when they brought the safeties in. And so, I mean, Zach Ertz lines up a lot one-on-one as a tight end against cornerbacks. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's Gronk, but he's able to do a lot of the things that Gronkowski is able to do, create separation and get open. And it's no wonder that he is Carson Wentz's favorite go-to receiver.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a talented guy, and there is a reason that he's Wentz's guy. And by the way, Wentz, He's legit, man. Like I wasn't sure. I felt like he had a really up and down last year, which is understandable, rookie season. But he's really good. He's legit.
Yeah, but according to Joel, Brendan, he's the worst quarterback in the league. So I just want to take this time to recognize Joel and tell you that you're really dumb because Carson Wentz is really good.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, three touchdowns, prime time. He, like you said, he had the up and down year last year, but I mean, I still think he played pretty decent as a rookie, and he is shining this year for the Eagles for sure.
Yeah, no, he's legit. I was really hoping that he was going to make a mistake or something. Had a clean sheet and no interceptions, so I was hoping we were going to get like a young play. It's frustrating sometimes because it feels like the defense doesn't generate a lot of turnovers.
Now you're right. Now the Panthers did have the strip sack on Wentz. I will say that. I think it was Peppers. He is inching closer and closer to becoming the fourth all-time sack guy in the NFL. That's pretty hard to believe. He is the ageless wonder. Well, there are two ageless wonders on the Panthers' defensive side of the ball: Julius Peppers and Thomas Davis. But I just can't believe that Peppers is able to continue doing what he's doing. I think he's up. I think they gave him a half sack. Either way, he hit Wentz, and he continues to have a really good year. Staying on the defensive side of the ball, pretty scary last night. Luke Kuechly suffered his third concussion in as many years. And like I was saying to you before we went on the air, I think last year in the Thursday night football game, it was when he had his other concussion, when he was hit and he was crying and it was a really sad scene. So maybe the Panthers should stop wearing the all blue uniforms because two out of the three times Luke Kuechly has been concussed.
I'm getting more and more concerned about him, man. Like I really just hope he's all right. Just, you know, pass football or anything like that. Because you know, the more we find out about this stuff, these are things that occur to you, right? Like the more we find out about head injuries and about how deleterious this can be to your cognitive abilities moving forward, you know, favorite player or not, you know, you want him to be all right. And it's hard not to think about Dan Morgan, another former Carolina Panther linebacker who was fantastic, but his career is cut short just because of head injuries.
Yeah. And I was going to bring up Dan Morgan as well. He was kind of Luke Kuechly before Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, a guy that was very, very good in pass coverage and made every play that you could want him to make, but just couldn't stay healthy.
Morgan played with the Panthers from 2001 to 2005, and get this, he had 18 tackles in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. He was the guy. He was going to be the middle linebacker of the future. His career was cut short coming out of Miami. The Panthers drafted him in 2001. Then the Panthers got John Beeson. That ended up being a nasty divorce. Kuechly, and I've said it a million times, and it's not just because I live in the state of North Carolina. I've watched a lot of football. I think he's one of, if not the best linebackers, middle linebackers I've ever seen play. But is as fun as he is to watch, as good as he is at football, and he's a great person off the field as well, his health is the main concern. And having three concussions in 3 years, I think he's only been in the league for, what, six seasons?
Yeah,
you know,
something like that.
You've seen a lot of guys retire because of head injuries early and other circumstance, but, you know, do you think this is – I mean, I don't know how bad this concussion is, but I mean, any concussion is bad, but when do you think is the right time to seriously consider thinking about retirement?
It's weird because this is it's a moving goalpost because no one is really 100% sure, you know, what this means. I think I've heard it akin to, like, some people can get these concussions and be completely fine moving forward, and some get fewer and they are not all right. You know what I mean? Like, this is still a thing they're still trying to figure out. They're in development. I know that I had read a study about them being close to being able to find CTE in living patients. And so that's, I mean, like, so this is the newest of the new sort of medical stuff. And I don't know if anybody knows exactly what each concussion means or the severity of the concussion or whatever it is. So if I were an NFL player, that would be the scariest part, just kind of going into the abyss and not knowing, them just not having the science to figure out what's even happening. And that's got to be a terrible, terrifying and peculiar sort of scenario for them.
Yeah, and the play where he, you know, right before he went out, it was kind of weird. It looked like he had gone around the defensive line, and I don't remember if it was a tight end or a guard or somebody that pulled. It just hit him on the side of the head, kind of near the shoulder, and I saw him kind of stumble down. And when he got up, he grabbed his, it kind of looked like the collarbone area. So I was like, all right, you know, it's not a concussion. But then he walked off, and they kept him out. And then you finally hear, oh, he is in concussion protocol. So you just kind of hold your breath. But you know, yeah. I you got to hate it for the guy because he's a great football player. He's a great person. And you would hate to see him suffer the same fate as Dan Morgan, who had to retire at 29. He really started having issues with the concussions and some other things around 27. So he was never the same guy. But, he had to retire from football before the age of 30. So hopefully, you know, for Luke, that's not the case. You know, right now for him, this is more, and for everybody's concern, it should be more off the football field for his long-term well-being and health.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, so just moving more to more in an immediate fashion, because they have these extra days, because it was a Thursday night game, do you think that he plays Sunday? Like, I know we just had that really serious conversation about his health, and so now this is – but I guess I kind of have to ask, like
– I mean, it's just hard to say. I think it's going to be 10 days between now and their next game. So it's kind of like a semi-bye week, but, I mean, my thing is he missed six games. I think it was five or six games last year. You know, after his third concussion in as many years, they're going to be extremely, extremely careful. So, I mean, because they're playing the Bears aren't the 49ers, so I'm not going to get into that again. But, I mean, if it's me, I probably would. I mean, David Mayo played fine last night. He looked great in the preseason. This is the kind of thing where you get a little concerned about when A.J. Klein left, because A.J. Klein played so well for the Panthers when Luke went out. But I think David Mayo will do a fine job in the interim if he has to fill in for a few weeks. But I think he'll especially be fine next week if they have to play Chicago. But it's just hard to say whether or not he's going to play, because you and I and the public just doesn't know how severe this concussion is. And I'm no doctor. I'm not good with medical things. I faint almost if I look at an X-ray. So I'm not good at medical things. True story, I swear.
That you fainted looking at an X-ray?
I almost did. My sister broke her arm, and they showed me the X-ray, and I'm like, oh, God, I got to sit down.
Sir.
I'm serious. No. That's happened before. My sister also broke her collarbone, and I was fine, and then I saw the doctor messing with it, and that's when I'm like, nope, I'm going down. And so they had to they had to tend to me more than my broken collarbone sister. I'm out in the waiting room. They're giving me orange juice and stuff, and my sister's just laughing at me with a broken collarbone.
You're a real tough guy. So
when it comes to... I'm not.
I love the visual of your sister just like laughing at you while she's over, while they're actually at the hospital for her.
Oh, it's horrible. It was horrible. You never know what you're going to hear, especially about my life on the Panthers bus.
Panthers Blitz, man.
I might have some Star Wars stuff later. Actually, I will, because Cam Newton tied Star Wars into the game last night, which was amazing. I hope you got to watch it.
I did. You sent me the clip of you sent me a clip of Cam's the mashup of Cam over the Star Wars joint.
Yeah. So, Star Wars Episode 8. The Last Jedi comes out 2 days before my wedding, so it better be good or else I'm going to be really pissed at the altar. But The trailer came out. I didn't like it. A lot of people got all over me for it. But Cam did this video thing where he had the opening and he kind of mixed it up where it has Supreme Leader Snoke talking about it and fulfilling your destiny or whatever. So I'm still confused as if Cam sees himself as a Sith, but I figured he would be a Jedi or he would want to be a Jedi. But we're still not sure who Snoke was talking to, whether it was Rey or Kylo Ren. But I thought the video was cool. I'm getting way into this Star Wars dorky thing. So
you were deep into it. I was in this mode. I was like, go ahead and go for it, man.
I was in the mode. I'm sorry for doing the breakdown with the Star Wars thing, but long story short, it was really cool. Thank you, Cam. It's all right. Go ahead.
Panthers Blitz, man.
Yeah, hashtag Panthers Blitz. This is the kind of thing you would hear in Spartanburg, hashtag Spartanburg.
That is very, very true.
Which?
Did you, what are your, like, large takeaways from the game?
Well, the largest takeaway is that the Panthers cannot run the ball, and if they cannot run the ball, they're in trouble because the Cam cannot continue to throw it 52 times and be the team's leading rusher.
That's too much.
You know, I've told you that I'm a fan of Cam running the ball more, which he's been able to do. Now we'll call it 3 weeks. The past 3 weeks, against New England and the Lions, very successful. He had a little bit of a running game behind him, not much, but I think against the Lions he had 8 carries. It wasn't 71 yards, but when he's able to run, it opens up a lot of stuff for the offense because you can just drill people on play action. He's able to pick up the yards, but on some of the runs last night, it was just a straight keeper, and it was just dumb. Like the defense knew it was coming, and he just kept it and went around the outside, and some of it didn't make sense. And I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, I gave Mike Shula a lot of credit the past 2 weeks. I understand why he had to call some of the things that he called last night, it just being that the running game was not there. But some of the decisions down the stretch were not very smart, specifically on the Panthers' final drive when they had 3rd and 4th down with 1 yard to go, and they pass on both. Now, when you have a 6'5" guy in Cam Newton, and even though you're being stuffed all game, I'm still running the ball on 3rd and 1. I don't care who you are. I'm just going to do it. You would like to think that Cam Newton could just fall forward and get a yard. Now, the 4th and 1 call, the pass to McCaffrey, I had no issue with. Cam just misfired. That's just what it was. McCaffrey was open. You know, he made a great play to try and get the ball. It just wasn't there. So I had no issue with that. But on 3rd and 1, you got to run the ball. Now, I know that line was abusing Tyler Larson up front and the guards, but you just got to try.
Yeah, I don't know how you fix that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how your running game, you know, suddenly changes. I don't know enough about offensive line play to be able to tell you, you know, how it'll get better or get worse. But this team can't – you don't have to run the ball a ton, but you need to be able to run the ball. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that it's the aggregate yards that you need. It's the threat of the run that you need, particularly for our team because – they like to run a lot of play action and like none of that works if you aren't confident running the ball. No one's going to take you seriously. And I don't know how they fix that. I really don't.
Yeah. Fix it or not, you know, with the people that they have, like I said, with Cam Newton, you gotta be able to pick up a yard.
I'm speaking generally about the running game. Absolutely, in those short yardage situations, just be able to pick that up and move forward.
Yeah, but the running game as a whole, they got some mad issues, and hopefully for them, when it sounds like Ryan Khalil is getting closer and closer to being able to play, you know, I'm not sure what one guy is going to do. I mean, he is an All-Pro, so you would. And he is better than Tyler Larson. I think we need to give Tyler Larson some credit. He has played really well, but last night he did not play very well. But he had a tough assignment. So
yeah, I was about to say Fletcher Cox is
he's okay.
Real.
You know, he's pretty good at the footballs.
Leads directly to that first interception. He just pushes the right guard right into Cam Newton and affects the trajectory of the ball, and they get the interception. I mean, just killer.
Yeah, so the Panthers have got to fix that moving forward. There was another situation in the game. You know, the third and one, fourth and one was key for me. A lot of people brought this up on Twitter, which we're about to get to here in a second. But the end of the half, the Panthers had a chance to kick a 58-yard field goal, but they just, I forgot if they ran the ball or threw the ball or what, but they elected not to go for the field goal. I actually agree with that call, just because if you remember back from last week's game, Graham Gano attempted a 55-yarder and just shanked it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it had been raining a little bit. It was humid, so the ball's not going to travel as far, maybe. But if he comes up short, it also gives Detroit a chance to return the ball, and your return team is not out there. And you've seen in past, even in college football, remember the Iron Bowl a few years ago with Alabama and Auburn. What can happen? Yeah. And when you got a bunch of shout out to Dave Gettleman, a bunch of hog mollies out there, try to run down a returner, it more times than not, it's not going to go in your favor. So I don't know your feelings on it. A lot of people are upset about that, but I'm fine with it.
I echo your sentiments completely. Like I don't, you know, anything 50 and in, I feel like that's where you should feel comfortable as with the kicker. If you don't after a certain period of time, you know your kicker better than anybody else. And it can leave you vulnerable to crazy, you know, kind of ridiculous play. So yeah, I 100% agree.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, it was a tie ball game. It was 10-10, and the Panthers get the ball back at half.
So, right. Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, forget the return ability if it was to happen. You know, it's not like they're trailing, and it's not. I mean, if it's the end of the game, yeah, they're going to attempt that field goal. But it just makes no sense. You don't want to give Philadelphia, who has some very explosive guys, a chance to return the ball.
Yeah.
Especially Kenyon Barner, former Carolina Panther.
That is true. Because he returned one in their previous game.
Yeah. I would assume that he would be one of those guys back there. I'm not sure who else they have on special teams, but they got some players, man. I tell you what, watch out for the Eagles at 5-1. You know, I think they got that division on lockdown. It looks like at this point they're going to make the playoffs, probably have one of the top three seeds. They are looking good. Panthers are still in good shape at 4-2. Still technically, I guess now second in the division because Atlanta is 3-1. They were on their bye week last week. New Orleans and Tampa Bay are both at 2-2. A lot of frustration on Twitter last night with Twitter Panther fans. I'm not sure how much you were able to see that, but I tweeted out a few things. Some of them got angry at me. My intention was to calm everybody down because the Panthers are 4-2, and I think I said that it sounded like everybody was complaining about a 2-4 team. And the Panthers have four very winnable games heading into the bye week, so the Panthers could very well be 8-2 or 7-3. So I think it's not time to panic for Panthers fans.
No, absolutely not. I mean, this is a good team. The Eagles are good. They're a good team. And you're on Thursday night. Again, I don't think that's a good representation of what any team is when you try it out there on Thursday night. I just don't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that physically people are capable of bouncing back like that. And I think that it just doesn't give you a good snapshot of how talented your team is. They went in there. They played a good team. They played them tough. They nearly were able to make the miraculous comeback at the end. So, I mean, it's really fine. Like you said, the schedule eases up just a tad bit with Chicago and Miami on the dock in the next two out of the next 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, go to Chicago next week. I think they go to Tampa Bay, Atlanta, and then Miami, and then the bye week. So very favorable schedule for the Panthers. They're fine. People on Twitter, so much hashtag fire Shula. It's insane.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. So quickly, the Panthers fans forget about the success and Cam threw the ball well or whatever. But it was so much Mike Shula the past 2 weeks at New England and at Detroit. Called wonderful games. Was kind of put into a weird situation last night where he had no chance but to call a lot of those passing plays because the running game was just simply not there. And you and I have harked on that. It was non-existent. But Panthers fans, I almost feel like there's a sense of entitlement after going to the Super Bowl, after they go 15-1, they lose the Super Bowl.
Even after last year, though?
It
feels like it should have been pretty humbling.
Well, you would think, but to me, last year, yes, the sense of entitlement was there. It's like, we should win. And I told so many Panther fans this last year. I said, it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. You get rid of Josh Norman. There's a ton of questions in the secondary. The team goes 6-10. I had a conversation with my friend the night of the Super Bowl. I said, it's probably not this year, but it may be the following or the year after that. The Panthers are 4-2 now. They still have some stuff to figure out, but shoot. I mean, if they get into the playoffs, everybody has a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel – you're saying pretty much the same thing, that you still feel confident about this team after last night.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody just expects them to win. It was a keep pounding game. It's at home. It's a Thursday night game. The Panthers historically don't play well in primetime, and it was on a short week, and they're playing a really good team. I feel like the Eagles have not been given enough credit, especially by the Panthers fan base, but the Eagles are one of the best teams in the NFL, and I think they certainly showed that last night.
Yeah, there's a very real case in there for them being the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's between them and Green Bay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the conversation. That's the conversation is between those two teams. So that's the other thing. Like, I don't see it as some like huge mark against us that we lost. So I was like, yeah, we lost. Okay, there.
You're not going to win every game. I mean,
you're not going to win every. You want to win your home game. So you want to win those big time home games like that. But again, you're going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, it is concerning that they've lost two at home and they're able to win in a hostile environment on the road, which is good because the Panthers, if they get into the playoffs, they're probably going to have to play a team like that on the road.
Would you rather – all right, weird question, but since we're here, would you rather be good on the road than good at home? Because I feel like I would. I feel like I'd rather be good on the road because, like you said, in all likelihood, you'll be on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to confidently know that my team can perform on the road. You'd like to think that you can win more than half of your games at home. You know, maybe the Panthers do get a home game at some point in the playoffs if they make the playoffs. You saw in 2015 it was huge for them because they played a close game against Seattle, but they just completely curb stomped the Cardinals. But yeah, I mean, I to your question, I think I would be more okay with being confident with winning on the road for sure.
Yeah. I'm good with this team. I'm like right now we're at a better place than I thought we'd be after that Saints game. You know what I mean? Like that was the low point of the season so far for me.
Well, and they were able to rebound after that loss, and it was a loss at home, and it was embarrassing. I mean, people want to say that this game was embarrassing. Sure. I mean, there were embarrassing moments in it, but that New Orleans game was ridiculously embarrassing. I mean, they were able to bounce back, and they were able to bounce back against two really good teams. And it's not going to be a cakewalk against Chicago, but it's definitely a more favorable matchup coming off of a loss than New England.
Absolutely. And so after the Saints game, I was thinking, man, this season is going to really careen, right? Like I was like, this offense just isn't that good and the defense isn't good enough to just be able to carry it. And so I thought this season was going to be lost the previous season was. So I'm 4-2 is like, yes.
Yeah, I didn't expect them to be 4-2 at this point.
No.
I thought they would beat the 49ers. I thought they would beat the Bills, maybe the Saints. I mean, the Saints are who they are. I mean, they're 2-2 now, but they're going to be tough to beat any week because they got Drew Brees. I don't care what year it is. He could be 60 years old and I'd still be afraid of him. Going to New England and to Detroit, I thought those were both losses. You know, I picked both of them as wins for the other teams. And this game, you know, I didn't think the Eagles would be that good this year, but they are proving to be, like I said, one of the best teams. So Panthers fans, you know, maybe there are some level-headed Panthers fans on Twitter, because I talked to some of them, and I appreciate you. But calm down. Just breathe. It's going to be okay. You're 4-2. They're in a lot better shape than I expected them, and they're going to be fine. I think this next stretch of games, I think they're going to win more than they're going to lose.
Yes, I would hope that they will be hopefully 3-1. That's what the desire is. Intra conference games are always weird, though. Like, we talked about this before. Like, just because the Bucks haven't played great this year doesn't mean that I wouldn't be that them beating the Panthers would shock me.
Oh no! If they beat the Panthers, I wouldn't be shocked. It's a divisional game. Those games are always close.
Yeah.
But my message to Panthers fans would to control your anger, because it leads to fear. And both of those things, as I have told you, Brandon, what did they lead to?
I have no idea. I forgot your quote. I know exactly what we did talk about this.
I'll give you.
You did. No, you alley me, and I flubbed it.
I'll help you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Anger, fear, aggression. The dark side are they. Once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny.
No truer words have ever been spoken.
Sure.
By one, Master Yoda, my hero. Come on, everybody. You knew that's where I was going, except Brendan, apparently.
I forgot that quote immediately. It's Yoda. I don't. You're a crazy person. So you're just a crazy person. That's fine.
Hey, you know what? There are a lot of really good life lessons from Yoda in Star Wars. I'm sorry. I was even planning to do that, and then when I got in here today, I'm like, you know what? I have a really good quote I can use from Star Wars, so I'm going to do it. Especially because it's Cam Newton's fault. He had me thinking about Star Wars and Panthers, so it's blame it on him.
All right, so are you Aaron Rodgers right now to the Panthers fans? Pretty much just relax. Is that you?
Yes. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Absolutely. Yeah. Calm down. It's going to be fine. If it's not, I'm sorry if I give you false hope. But if you look at these next three games and coming off of a loss, what they were able to do this year, I think they're going to end up just fine.
Agreed.
Brendan, I hope you have a really good time. I hope you get pumped up, but not too pumped up. Please be safe.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a really good time. Getting up with some guys from college, it's always a hoot.
Ooh, college friends, that'll be interesting. Now, please do me a favor while you're in Atlanta, my friend.
Yeah.
You have to go to the varsity for me.
Oh, varsity is terrible, man. Don't tell other people that you like the varsity. It's terrible.
I'm going to hang up on you.
Varsity is awful. Awful.
You're awful.
Food. I want better for you, Stout. I want better for you. Bro.
But, like, okay, I've had better food than the varsity, but the varsity is, it's not bad, but it's one of those places, if you're in Atlanta, you have to go to.
It's bad. People should stop going there. They should stop frequenting the varsity.
I do hate how they yell at me when I go, what do you have? What do you have? What do you have? Shut up and let me order.
It's terrible. Service is awful. Food is terrible. I have no idea why people frequent that establishment at all. Like, none. Like, I have no idea how it became like a spot. Maybe the food used to be good, but it's awful.
Wow.
I want better for you guys. If you take nothing else away from Panthers Bliss today, guys, know that you should stop eating food from the varsity. That's it.
I'm going to 1,000% disagree. Is the food as bad as the Atlanta Braves?
Ooh, all right, well, that's – I mean, you won't get sick eating it, so.
Spoken like a true Nationals fan.
Yep, yep.
Yes. Sorry about the Nationals, friend.
Yeah.
I'm riding high. I know I'm not supposed to show any fandom as a journalist, but I'm going to right now because I'm a big Yankees fan, and I am so happy that they were able to win three straight and beat I think, the best team in baseball. Well, apparently not now, but in the regular season, the Cleveland Indians. So I'm riding high. You're sad. Sorry. But that's what you get. Look, that's what you get for poo-pooing on the varsity.
No, that's just good common sense. But no, it was the most national thing ever to force a game five and then to lose. Like, so, like, real fans of professional sports teams from DMV already knew what it was. Like, don't even leave your feet on that pump fake. It's good.
No go, Cubs go?
Get out of here.
Sorry, Fred. It'll be all right. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's always next season, right?
Always. There, that is always the truth.
There you go. Well, we're kind of on a bye week now, I guess, a semi-bye week along with the Panthers. So we may be back on Monday to record some type of podcast. I'm hoping that we'll have a guest. If not, I guess we'll be back next Thursday to preview the Chicago Bears-Carolina Panthers matchup. I believe that's a 1 p.m. kickoff on Fox.
Yep.
We appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to our shenanigans. Breaking down the Panthers' loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. Panthers now 4-2. Brendan, please be safe. Have fun. Don't have too much fun. I'll let you get out of here. Thanks for the time, pal.
Absolutely, man. See you on the other side, bro.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Yes, sir.
That's going to do it for us this week on Panthers Blitz. Like I said, we will be back for sure next Thursday to break down the Chicago Bears-Carolina Panthers matchup. We might be back on Monday. We will see. Thanks for your time. I'm John Stout for Brendan Whitted. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Panthers Blitz podcast, WRALSportsFan.com's John Stout. Next week, you'll hear the latest happenings with Carolina Panthers football, the previews, the game recaps, stats, stories, and special guests. Don't forget that you can listen or download this podcast at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes and Google Play stores.